Welcome to the Social Expedition. Fueling your digitally social experience. Produced by LunaWeb, this is show number 51, November 17th, 2010. So this is the post-bar camp show. We skipped last week because we were bar camping, or pre-bar camping, prepping for bar camp.
It was intense.
It was bar camp. And actually, we're still not done.
No, not even close.
There's lots of post-bar camp stuff going on like right now. Like what kind of things are we up to these days after bar camp?
Sleeping.
Watermarking photos, trying to figure out what to do with all the streaming video we got. You know, the classes, or the presentations we did were 40 minutes each, which means the videos for them are about 40 minutes, which is about 25 minutes too long for YouTube. So we're exploring our options right now with what we're going to do with these videos.
Oh, okay.
And that's where we're at. I'm trying to see if we can just cut them apart with Ustream, but the Ustream editing tools are very primitive.
Oh, okay. Now, are we able to download that video from Ustream?
We can download them, but then we can't re-upload them anywhere because they're too long.
I see. Yeah, so we'd have to go, you'd probably use our Vimeo account, which we would use for that, since Vimeo and Vidler will let us put long videos up there.
Vidler is a little testy about it, though.
Are they getting testy?
Because we're paying
those guys money.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, then I'm going to hit them in the face because I didn't know that, and they never let me upload a video longer than 20 minutes.
Go bonk them in the face.
They go, could not embed. They get through uploading the video, and then they can't embed it.
Yeah, we pay them money so that we can put stuff up there. That's where we put all the Society of Entrepreneur videos.
Yes, I know, and that's where I encountered the trouble.
Maybe they had a little change of their service deal there, and they forgot to tell us.
Well, I will definitely look into it. Yeah. I did not realize that we were paying them for that service.
Yeah.
And that means that they better be giving us what we want.
Speaking of paying stuff, another thing that we pay, too, is a Bud URL.
That's true.
Which you use a lot of Bud URL type things for Barcamp to create those short URLs so that we could tweet about it. But just having a shorter address is not always why you would want to use a service like that. So go ahead, share with us, some of the other rationale why we use Bud URL other than just making a shorter.
Well, we used a lot of Bud URLs for our sponsor tweets. So instead of just linking people or tweeting out, we had this great sponsor, let's go with Sticker Mule, was a great sponsor that gave us some lovely bar camp custom-made stickers. Mm-hmm. And instead of just tweeting out, thanks to our sponsor, Sticker Mule, go to their website, www.stickermule.com, we actually created a Bud URL that was budurl.com/stickermule, which is actually longer in terms of characters, but we were able to track how many times it was clicked. So we could give our sponsors a more accurate representation of their impact on the Twitter community via our efforts.
Mm-hmm. And it's not just to give them an impression. I mean, that was part of their deal. You know,
Absolutely.
We had the classic, what was it, silver, gold, and platinum sponsorships. And with each one of those, we said, you'd get X number of tweets and so many clicks to your site as a result. And so this lets us count that and make sure that we're holding up our end of the deal.
Mm-hmm. We assured our platinum level sponsors 50 mentions and I believe 150 click-throughs, which we have already far surpassed in the click-throughs. So had already far surpassed probably a week before bar camp because people click on those links.
Yeah, they do. I don't know. It's that's funny. People they just click.
They just click.
Link. You never know what you'll find.
Link, click.
Even if you know what you'll find, there may be a surprise there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really
deep.
That's why I always eat. That's why I always eat Cracker Jacks.
It's 4 p.m.
Just to get to that prize.
Exactly.
You never know.
They had prizes in the cereal box too. Back when I was a kid, and so my mom would come back from grocery shopping, and my brother and I would dive into the cereal boxes and practically pour it all out to find the little prize at the bottom, whether it was this lick it, stick it tattoo, or some little jumping thing.
Did you ever realize that if you open the cereal at the opposite end that it should be open, that you could get to the prize quicker? And you wouldn't have cereal all over the floor.
Yeah.
Maybe I was just a child prodigy, but I figured that out pretty quickly.
Hmm.
Yeah. There's genius. A toy right there. Just I know. Genius. I know.
The other great thing about Bud URL.
Well, you know, I tell you something about this. There's a little psychology with this, the prize thing. You don't know exactly. A lot of times you didn't know exactly what you're going to get. I think that was more Cracker Jacks, you know, type of thing. You didn't know what you were going to get. And the same very exact thing is going on right now with these, this is hot news. Call the fire department.
Call the fire department.
The same thing is going on right now when we check into these location-based services and we get this silly little badge. It's a little trinket. It's like the prize in the bottom of the Cracker Jacks.
I like it.
And so sometimes you don't know when you're going to get a badge.
I got very inappropriate ones over the weekend. I got the Player Please badge. I was,
Player Please.
Because I was playing, teasing. No, because I was in a location with two members of the opposite sex. Gasp. Oh. And I also got the Looking for Love badge on Friday night, which I am not looking for love, but Foursquare thought so.
How did Foursquare think you were looking for love?
Bravo. I follow Bravo on Foursquare. So Bravo has tapped out this list of locations where if you check into them, you know, then you get these certain badges. So I have no idea what South of Bill is about. Maybe it's a swanky little joint and, you know, it was 8 p.m. on a Friday night. So that's probably what time most people look for love. So maybe that's how that added up.
That's what time it occurs to me.
Right.
8 p.m.
It's 8 p.m. on Friday.
Oh, love.
It's time. Maybe that's how that happens. So, yeah, I got those two badges this week.
So you get some badges because you know that they're there and you know what you have to do to get them.
Yeah, sometimes, yes.
But then it seems like there's other badges that are kind of just surprised. You were not expecting it.
Correct.
And then all of a sudden, bink, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know. Well, and that's the real key, I think. That's the one that gets you and keeps you coming back, because if you had to really put in the effort to get any prize all the time, you'd be like, well, tonight I'm going to go get this badge at this place.
Right.
You wouldn't play it as much.
No one has that kind
of time. Because
you
get surprise badges, that's really the key to the success of Foursquare. Surprise badge.
Yeah. Yeah. I've gotten surprise badges.
Yeah. Play a please.
Oh, yeah. Was that what it is?
I just want to say that.
Yeah, no. I definitely said it out loud when I got the badge. You got the Player Please badge? Play it, please.
Now there's some kind of what do you call that when you go gambling? the one-arm bandit.
This would be out of my realm.
The slot machine. Right up my alley. Oh no, I'm roulette all the way. I don't know anything about slot machines.
So when you get the three sevens or the three cherries or whatever the thing is, that it starts going wild. The odds are you're not going to get something. So when you do, it's a surprise. There's something there I think equates to this thing. Because everybody you talk to about...
Winner's high?
Pardon?
Oh, yeah.
Winner's high?
Highest high and lowest low.
You know, whenever you talk to people about, you know, getting these badges, most people admit it's silly, it's stupid, and it makes no sense, but they do it anyway.
I cannot wait to see the psychology studies that will be published, you know, 2 or 3 years from now, based on Foursquare. You know, people get so excited over a badge. What is that about?
I wonder why they haven't made it to bumper stickers yet. You know what I mean? Why can't I have my Foursquare badges
what
as a bumper
good
sticker?
Idea. You know?
That is a good idea.
Really? I like it.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So we know you're out there listening to this podcast. You're going to take that great idea and go do cool stuff
at Foursquare.
Just let us know where to get those bumper stickers. Yeah.
Gosh, I've started thinking in like hashtags and at mentions.
Yeah.
I'm like at Rach G. Smith, can you take care of this afternoon for me? I need some photos
at Dins,
for this.
We need some bumper stickers. Yeah.
Hashtag ASAP.
Yeah.
So maybe someday we'll see somebody like Jennifer Marshall put together cupcakes with little badges on them. I don't know. I just think that.
Please bring those to my birthday party.
There is an opportunity for that. So yeah. So let's break over to Jennifer Marshall. Well, hey, it's a great pleasure to welcome Jennifer Marshall, who's a co-owner of BFF Cupcakes.
Thanks,
hey, welcome.
Dave. I'm
welcome.
Glad to be here.
We are audio only here.
We were concerned about that.
So, hey, I'm just diving into things. BFF, that's That's the BFF that we all know and love, right?
Best friends forever.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you, how'd you come up with that name?
Well, Mia and my boyfriend decided that we wanted to do something to make a little extra money, mm-hmm. save towards purchasing a house, and we decided to bake cupcakes. Although he doesn't do a lot of the baking, I do all the baking and decorating, and he does all the marketing and order taking and delivery, those kind of things. But We went through a bunch of names. We probably ended up with like 5 or 10 possibilities, and we decided with Best Friends Forever, because even if we broke up, we were still going to be best friends. Mm-hmm. And so it seemed to make sense for the business, and we thought it was pretty cute sounding.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know why, but I make a definite internet connection with BFF for mm-hmm. some reason. So you were mentioning earlier, and I've completely forgot this, that your website is on Facebook.
Yeah, we don't have a separate standalone website. We use our Facebook fan page for all of our web needs with the cupcake business because it doesn't cost us anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's really easy to use. I'm, you know, Zach and I's level of tech savvy kind of varies, but he's very comfortable using Facebook, and so we went with that so that he could help me manage that, and it's worked out really well for us.
Great. You know, when we talk to folks that are bootstrapping it, it's like, hey, you know, you can use Facebook now for your own website.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a lot of interesting looks on that initially. Like I think, you know, some people who maybe have heard of Facebook over the years may think that you have to be a member of Facebook in order to see your stuff.
Right, right. Yeah, that's a good point, because we get, I'd say probably about 80% of our customers are really familiar with Facebook and are comfortable using it. Another percentage, they're like, oh, well, I don't have a Facebook page. How can I get your information? And it's, you know, you don't have to have a page. Here's the web address. Type it in, and it's easy enough to remember, you know, mm-hmm. facebook.com/BFFcupcakes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some tabs along the top where you can look at reviews and photos. And, you know, once they realize they don't have to have a page, they don't have to commit to Facebook to look at it, they're just fine with using it that way. We also are willing to send them, you know, the menu or pictures as attachments if they're really uncomfortable or unfamiliar with Facebook. But I've only had to do that a couple of times.
Okay. Okay. So up there on Facebook, you've got a number of different tabs that you have, you mm-hmm. know, on your site. So do you have like photos of, you know, the cupcakes?
Yeah, we put up photos of all of our basic flavors, and then for each holiday, we do special flavors for that holiday, and we'll put those up in a separate album. You know, Easter 2010, or Mother's Day, or Valentine's Day, and so people can kind of go through. We also have an album of BFF cupcake lovers, and so folks that have ordered cupcakes and taken pictures with the cupcakes, and we put them in that album and tag them, so that, you know, it kind of permeates through the social networking site.
So let's get down and dirty here. Let's talk frosting.
Okay.
Thickness.
Well, we use buttercreams on all our cupcakes, and they're made with real butter, no Crisco shortening, anything like that. Butter and real sugar, and then the different flavorings. They're pretty thick frostings, and I think we have a really good cupcake to frosting ratio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unlike some other places, too little, too much frosting, I think we hit a really nice balance there.
Oh, okay, okay. So you guys are playing the middle ground then.
Yes.
That. Okay,
uh-huh.
that great debate.
Yes, what is enough frosting? Yes.
So these are 100% real, these are the real McCoy, real butter.
Yes.
These aren't your diet cupcakes.
No.
These are,
if you're
good.
Watching your weight, BFF cupcakes are not for you. We use all, you know, real cocoa butter, fat chocolate, butter, sugar, real whole eggs. Yeah, and a lot of love goes into them, which, you know, could be fattening depending on how you view it.
You know, I was talking to somebody, and I said something about, hey, taking a healthy kind of a cake or something like that out to clients, you know, and if they thought that was a good idea. And she said, no, they'd hate you.
I think cakes and cupcakes are a special treat. You want to do everything in moderation, of course, but, yeah. You know, if you're going to treat yourself, you might as well have the real thing.
So other social networks that you're using, in addition to Facebook, where else are you guys out there, and how are you using these tools for the BFF's benefit?
You know, we really only don't use Twitter. Mm-hmm. We don't have a blog yet, although we've considered doing kind of a cupcake blog. But there are a lot of really good cupcake blogs, and I'm not real sure what we would have to offer to that isn't already out there. we take all of our orders through email. So we use a Gmail account and all the services that come with Gmail and Google accounts to kind of manage that. We try to do as little on paper as we actually can. And that's kind of our BFF Cupcakes Green initiative, is to try to do as much of the ordering, confirmation, delivery setup, those kind of things electronically, and to not generate waste doing those things.
Gotcha.
Because we have to package the cupcakes, and we have to, you know, the ingredients, the packages, the ingredients come in those things. So we create that kind of waste. So we try to kind of level that off in some way with the business side of it by doing everything electronically.
Okay, okay. So then if you're not on Twitter,
mm-hmm.
so why not?
You know, it's just really like neither Zach nor I personally use Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think probably that's why. You know, it's just not part of our worldview of social media and that kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's because it's interesting, you know, to understand why some people, you know, delve into certain things and or some people do for a while and then they get out of it, that, mm-hmm. you know, that type of thing. I think I've seen BFF Cupcakes, not the user, but people mention BFF Cupcakes on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, in a very positive way.
Yeah. Nice. Well, maybe we should get on there and Google search it or something, find out where we're popping up.
Well, that's that search. If you go to search.twitter.com,
mm-hmm.
you can search for you without having to create a Twitter account.
Oh,
so it's,
nice.
It's a nice kind of tool to see what's going on there at the water cooler.
Yeah. You know? Okay. Yeah. We'll definitely try that for sure. I'd love to know what people are saying.
So do you pay attention to a lot of all these new Facebook news releases that are coming out, and lately it's all about places and this kind of thing. And, you know, and you guys are, you're home-based.
Yes.
You're home-based business.
We are. We are. We are a home-based business. We do use a local commercial kitchen to do the baking in,
mm-hmm.
But it's just, we just go there to do the baking, and then we deliver all of our cupcakes. So it's not actually, you know, people couldn't check in at BFF Cupcakes unless they were at our house necessarily.
And you don't have an office a public office at your house. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So all this check-in stuff, the Foursquare and all this jazz, and I think yesterday even Google came out with this thing called Hotspot.
I guess they really wouldn't apply to BFF Cupcakes.
So you guys are rolling around and a very signature type of a vehicle.
Yes.
That's very hard to miss. Tell us about that.
So all BFF Cupcakes are delivered in a Supergirl pink Jeep Cherokee, which is my personal vehicle that I've had for a couple of years. I have seen people tweet pictures of my car mm-hmm. on Twitter when I've been places. People that are on Twitter are like, oh, I saw a picture of your Jeep on the... And so people will send those to me. And so, yeah, the hot pink Jeep rolling down, rolling through Memphis. I'm either going to work or delivering BFF cupcakes.
That is great. Have you had any like internet themed cupcakes? As far as decorations or anything like that?
I haven't. I would love to do something like that. I have seen a number of people do like Apple cupcakes or Google cupcakes, those kind of things. But we haven't done one yet.
I see. We just had Bar Camp this last weekend, and there were a lot of different stickers that were there. That looks like they would make stickers for these places like Foursquare and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And people are, I was surprised to find out people are really kind of fanatical about this stuff.
Hmm.
Yeah, these little stickers, like they're badges that you earn on these Foursquare and this kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so they're very simplistic graphics. So they might be easy to make, what do you call it, frosting?
Yeah, an edible image or frosting. Yeah, certainly. Yeah, certainly.
You know, have you had any negative experiences that you had to deal with on Facebook with BFF or anything like that?
We did. We had one lady ordered some cupcakes. She was from out of town, and she was ordering them for a friend of hers that had just moved to Memphis. And we were supposed to deliver them on a Sunday. And we were unable to reach the person. We went to her house a couple times, knocked on the door. Nobody was there. She wouldn't respond to phone calls. But we did end up getting in touch with her Monday morning in delivering the cupcakes. Well, sometime between Sunday and Monday morning, her friend got upset that the cupcakes hadn't been delivered yet, and so wrote a pretty nasty review on our Facebook page
after you guys had been there twice already.
Yeah, okay. Well, and after they'd actually been delivered. So I emailed her and ended up talking with her on the phone and kind of explained the situation to her, and she went down and took the review down for us.
Okay.
But that's probably been the only negative experience that we've had. And it turned out that her friend had gone out of town for the weekend, and there was just kind of lots of screwy stuff going on. But that did, we have stopped taking out-of-town orders for now, until we can really get kind of a policy and procedure in place for the handling those kind of situations. So it was a learning experience for us, and I think that's just fine. It worked out. We learned something. We're trying to get that set up in a more cohesive manner, and we're gonna go from there.
Yeah. How about a heart warmer? Truly, with a name like BFF, you've got some heartwarming stories.
Well, I was thinking in our BFF Cupcakes Lovers album on Facebook, there is a picture of two young sisters who apparently, according to their mom and dad, never get along about anything, never agree on anything, except the flavor of BFF cupcakes that they love the most, which are our pink lemonade, our original, our signature flavor, and apparently is one of the few things that unites Haley and Hannah. and there's a lovely picture that you would never know that they are best friends and worst enemies at times on our album. But yeah, so they both order pink lemonade cupcakes for their birthday every year, and apparently are happy and don't fight with each other for those 2 days out of the 365 days a year.
Gotcha. So kind of, and real quick, what are the kinds of things that you share on Facebook as far as BFF status updates?
That's great. So we try to post new pictures of new flavors we're doing, our new menus. We also, when people order cupcakes and we know what the event is for, we will post a, congratulations on the baby shower or happy birthday, and try to tag the person in the post, those kind of things.
Okay, great. Well, hey, thanks so much for joining us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Especially, I guess this is your busy season too, right?
Well, Thanksgiving is a little slow, but Christmas will certainly pick up.
Okay.
And actually, Valentine's Day is our busiest season. Girlfriends and wives love BFF cupcakes for Valentine's Day. So, gentlemen, get your orders in early.
All right. Well, thanks, Jennifer.
No problem. Thank you.
Now I'm hungry.
She is a joy. If you can't walk away with your smile muscles a little bit sore after hanging out with Jennifer for a little bit, then you weren't paying attention.
For sure, anyone who can make cupcakes.
But if you've probably seen Jennifer Marshall driving around town in that pink Jeep. But yeah.
It was hot.
She is great. So check out BFF Cupcakes over there on Facebook. They're good stuff. So hey, what's happening? I noticed at Bar Camp there were a lot of presentations about mobile app, in general, a lot of mobile type things, in the location-based bit as well, in that whole realm. And you were talking about how you're seeing more of...
I'm seeing a lot of beta applications and startup companies focused on easy app creation. None of them gotten really big, except maybe the Android inventor with Google, which I've actually been on, and I am not a developer by trade, and it was a little complicated for me. Even though the description promised, super easy, but you have to upload something to your phone and then root your phone and then do this and then, do a tribal dance and say a prayer and know 80 million lines of code off the top of your head, and then you can create an app. But there are all these other applications out there. Most of them right now, it looks like you have to sign up and wait for an invite for easy cross-platform app creation. So these are very focused on being able to create an app for iPhone and Android,
which use two different languages altogether. So just because you make an iPhone app doesn't mean it's going to work on the Android platform.
And I'm not really sure how they're doing this. So, I'm skeptical. That's why I haven't really dived into it gung-ho and tried to create an app. I know there are some applications that you can kind of design your own RSS feed amalgamator, so you could have a little more variety than something like Pulse, which only has kind of select. You can pull in any RSS, but they have preferred ones, or Flipboard for iPad, which only has, doesn't that still have select ones that you can do?
You know what? I've not messed with the customization of Flipboard. What came out of the box, I am loving it. So yeah. I haven't bothered adding stuff to it. So I don't know. I think it's RSS. You plug in an RSS something, and then you're good to go.
I think they have a select number of RSS feeds from which to select.
Oh, I see.
But in theory, there are these, or I've read about these applications online where you can kind of design your own and pull from anywhere that has an RSS feed.
So talking about like trends, you have these different services, these different platforms, the iPhone platform, the Android platform, and then with that you have these different apps. And so the name of the game, I think I keep hearing over and over, and maybe you help me with the wording of this. Now there's apps that are out there, or websites or tools that you can go create easy apps in minutes. You don't have to be a developer to create both iPhone apps.
They say that.
Yeah. Oh, sure. And there's probably a very limiting. It's like, okay, you can do X amount, but if you really want to go into the major leagues, then you're going to hire a developer. And so it's this one-stop shop where you can go create stuff and to create multiple versions of it. See the same kind of thing. Think about the location-based services arena. And one of the things that you see is all these different location-based services. And then what comes along is this genre of websites or tools where I can go to one stop, do an update or check in to one location, and it goes and it automatically updates my GoWalla, my Facebook, and my Foursquare, and, you know, Hotspot that Google is just coming out with, you know. So there's that, and then so then you have this one-stop distribution, and then you have a one-stop aggregation that pulls in all this other different stuff into this one spot. This kind of thing, I see this repeating over and over and over. Anytime there's new stuff that comes out, it's all over the map, then you get tools that help you create stuff to let you update all over the map. And then you have tools that let you aggregate all over the map into one stop to make your life easier. And you see this over and over again with tweets, updates like that, stuff, sites like Ping, FriendFeed, Ping to broadcast, FriendFeed to aggregate, yeah. On and on.
Well, we're seeing a lot of innovation that goes in slightly different directions, and then we see a bunch of tools that streamlines it all.
Mm-hmm. And that's, so, yeah, and it's just like
streamline, I think that's the word.
The history repeating itself, yeah, making it easier over and over. What I don't like about this, unfortunately, is the fact that this pulls the conversation out of it. You go and you look at a lot of tweets, you know, go look at a few screens worth of tweets now. It's rare that you see at replies where you see conversation happening. You see a lot of updates,
mm-hmm.
but you don't see people talking back and forth much as compared to, you know, how you did a year ago or definitely two years ago, and then even more so 3 years ago. So hey, If you haven't made plans to join us tonight over radio here at LunaWeb for our Twilight Camp, that's going on tonight.
Absolutely. There will be wine and pizza. Little snacks. And
a lot of conversation with good folks, sharing things. It's a very open, not so structured kind of a meeting. If you want that structured meeting, join us at our breakfast.
December 1st.
All right.
And that is going to be our show and tell. Your yearly show and tell. So if you have anything that's been interesting you in the Web 2.0 space and you want to bring a sheet of paper with any information on it, or if you want to bring slides, or if you just want to come and talk about it, it's really casual, you know, we can pull it up on our iPad, something like that. We will, we'd just love to hear about anything that has caught your eye in that space.
Show and tell. You bet. And then also, hey, if you're looking at WordPress stuff, check out the Memphis WordPress group. Just do a search for that, and you'll wind up on the meetup that Beth Sanders has put together.
There will also be a link in the blog post for this podcast.
Okay, wonderful. That's it. Hey, a link. Wow. Okay. Well, hey, so this is Dave with LunaWeb. Thanks for listening. And
Ansley with LunaWeb.
Rachel with LunaWeb. Happy Thanksgiving, because...
Oh, yeah.
That'll be here soon.
You're not coming in for Thanksgiving for a podcast?
Yeah, well, we have a podcast next week.
I'll phone in if need be when I'm in my turkey coma.
Might be a podcast next week.
We can get, like, greasy fingerprints all over the microphone and stuff. You know.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we'll check that out. Yeah, there should be. There's lots going on.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, thanks for listening.
The Social Expedition podcast is produced at the offices of LunaWeb, a Memphis leader in web development and social media, online at lunaweb.com. LunaWeb is a full-service web agency, meeting Memphis's online needs since 1995. Our theme music is The Year Before the War by Eric Maskell, available online at ericmaskell.com. For more information about the Social Expedition, including links mentioned during the podcast, visit socialexpedition.com. Thanks for listening.